progress and anything that conflicts with church dogma, 1,000 years of death, disease, plague, repression, ignorance, 1,000 years of darkness, an actual age of darkness, the dark age. AD 500 to 1500, 1,000 years of witch hunts, burning innocent women because they were suspected of using magic to worship the devil. AD 500 to 1500, 1,000 years of blood and crusades and religious fanaticism. Thank God we don't live 500 years ago. Phew. I mean, am I right? I mean, who wants to get burned at the stake? Anybody? You? Yes? No? Thank God the world modernized from the Dark Ages. Progress and industry and technology made our future brighter than ever before. Look at our technology and our progress and how fun my microphone is and this bright promise of tomorrow. Now we've been enlightened. We were but mere children in the Dark Ages, naive and pimple-faced. But now in the modern age, humanity has finally grown up. We've shed our primitive pimples. Back in the Dark Ages, we used to be homophobic, sexist, racist, patriarchal, religious radicals and witch hunters who slept with sheep. But in the modern age, we've begun to slowly progress beyond all the darkness, embrace more progressive values. Modern, good. Dark Ages, bad. And this is pivotal to our modern identity that we carry around with us every day. We've defined ourselves in relation to our dark past. It's even ingrained in our language. We say things today like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. How can people even think that in 2017? When something's prejudiced, we say, oh, that's so medieval. You might not, but your parents did. When someone is so close-minded, we say, oh, they're so backwards. Come on, it's 2017. As in, they are going backwards in time to the Dark Age instead of going forwards, progressing forwards. As this comic says, cash only? What is this, the Dark Ages? Or Richmond? In fact, the very term progress grew out of this idea that humanity is progressing away from the Dark Ages and towards something better. Progress assumes that as the years go by, we are improving, moving up in the world. Our society is progressing morally, scientifically, socially, from the depths we were once in during the Dark Ages. We no longer use leeches as medicine. Progress. Democracy and human rights are improving. Progress. We use the UNICEF box when we go on Halloween. Progress. We know more about science and diseases and medicine. We're leaving behind our silly superstitions. Progress. We're becoming more tolerant of other faiths. Progress. Love and humanism and global cooperation. Progress. We no longer kill witches. Progress. Today in the modern world, a witch can live a full, happy life just like anyone else with no fear of persecution. Progress. We are progressing up and away from the ugly Dark Ages and progressing on into our bright future. And this story we've told ourselves, that you've probably never thought about before, but you know it's true, this story we tell ourselves is partly responsible for the decline of religion in the Western world. We associate religion and the church with the Dark Ages, and we associate the modern age with science and reason and humanism and progress. And in that sense, the church is kind of like this relic from our ancient past. It's become something to be progressed out of, outgrown as society and individuals mature. Sure, you believe those fairy tales in church when your parents told you to, but you're a grown-up now. You're in university. You got into UBC. You can't possibly believe those silly myths anymore. Grow up. Evolve past your primitive superstitions. Leave faith behind and join us in the 21st century, please. Progress beyond your naive church growing. If you type Dark Ages into Google search, one of the first images that comes up is this. Religion had its chance to run the world. It's called the Dark Ages. This also came up. You know, it's history. We're progressing slowly. The hole left by the Christian Dark Ages, and then we have to start again. And then they have this picture of the Dark Ages, of all these wars and killing each other. And then at the bottom, God loves you. Claims to bring people into the light caused the Dark Ages. Church building. But hey, they've got a point, right? The Dark Ages were pretty dark. Thank God we've progressed beyond that and we're more enlightened now. I mean, back in the Dark Ages, they had lots of slaves. Yeah, but there are actually more slaves in the world today in 2017 than at any other point in human history. There are children locked away in underground brothels in the very city of Vancouver. You pass them on the streets without knowing it. But hey, it was back in the Dark Ages that all those bloody crusades happened. Yeah, but in the 20th century, Stalin killed 20 times more people than the Crusades did, and he did it all in the name of atheism. But hey, it was back in the Dark Ages that the Spanish Inquisition began. Dark, dark times. Yeah, but the Spanish Inquisition only affected a few thousand people. It was in the modern age that 6 million Jews were murdered. In fact, some historians argue that more humans were killed in the 20th century alone than the past 20 centuries combined. But hey, the Dark Ages had such limited technology and industry. It was literally dark because they did not have lights. Yeah, but it was in the modern age that our technology and greed caused global warming. And we're still doing next to nothing about it. But hey, life was bleak and miserable back in the Dark Ages. Yeah, but today the most developed nations in the world often have the highest level of depression and suicides. For all our electricity and technology, are we really any happier today than they were back then? But hey, women used to be so oppressed back then in the Dark Ages. Yeah, but a major study by the World Health Organization found that in most countries today, between 30 to 60% of women, 15 to the age of 45, have experienced physical or sexual violence. Women are more likely to be sexually maimed or die from male violence than from cancer, malaria, traffic accidents, and war combined. But hey, in the Dark Ages, the church repressed science and set us back centuries. Yeah, but no, actually it didn't. I mean, the printing press was invented during the Dark Ages. If you don't have the printing press, you don't have modern science because scientists wouldn't have been able to get ready access to each other's work. And in fact, there are almost no records of the church repressing science until Galileo And that happened in the 1600s, which is the modern age, not the Dark Ages. But hey, it was back in the Dark Ages that we invented all of those horrific new ways to torture people. Yeah, but it was in the 20th century that we invented the atom bomb, and for the first time in human history, our species faces extinction. But hey, things were really dark back then, man. Yeah, but compared to what? Compared to us? To today? Because when you take a step back, it all looks pretty dark. We like to scapegoat. We humans, we find people or cultures or time periods, and we project on them all the sin and frustration and darkness we don't wish to deal with in ourselves. We call others dark and consider ourselves light in comparison. I'm pointing at you. You are dark. I am lightness. We look at criminals and we subconsciously think, thank God I'm not one of them. We need these bad people to be bad in order to feel okay about ourselves. Devils and villains are necessary to our personal mythologies. In contrast to these evil characters we create, we can then cast ourselves as the heroes, or at least the innocent bystanders caught in the middle of this horrible world. Oh, it's a convenient and easy way to tell the story of our lives, and one that doesn't demand us to look too closely at ourselves in the mirror. How easily we see the darkness in others, but not in ourselves. And we do the same thing with history. We construct our history in a way that paints us in a favorable light by comparing ourselves to others. We're the ones who came up with the name the Dark Ages. They didn't give that name to themselves. We, in the modern age, called them the Dark Ages. We're the ones telling the story, so we decided to make the past age dark and the modern age light. How convenient. And we use this idea of modern progress to justify just about anything. When the British tried to invade and colonize the world, they justified in their heads by saying, well, we're bringing progress and modern values and technology to the nations they conquered. It's the same logic that America uses today to justify policing the Middle East, because it's apparently their job to bring modern democracy to countries that are still stuck in the Dark Ages. See how easy it is to justify anything when you're so focused on the darkness in others, you can't see the darkness in yourself. We scapegoated an entire age of AD history, called it the Dark Ages, all while committing some of the worst atrocities in human history. And we do the same thing on a personal level, don't we? We feel better about ourselves. We can justify the things that we say and do. We can excuse ourselves for just about anything by comparing ourselves to the darkness in other people, other places, and other time periods. I might not be the best person ever, but at least I'm not a pedophile or a criminal or, you know, Hitler. I might not be the best guy ever, but at least I'm not like that guy in that row over there. You know what I'm talking about. How quickly we create a version of the world where others are the villains and we are the heroes, or at least the innocent bystanders. How easily we see the darkness in others, but not in ourselves. As the Bible puts it in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. There's no one who does good. Not even one. My dog pees on everything. My dog, Teddy. It was a massive pain to potty train him. He's a lot better than he used to be. But it was really an uphill battle for a while. You know, it's just, hey, Teddy, how you doing? I'm doing great. I'd come home and I'd accidentally step on poop with my bare feet and it would squish in between the toes. Teddy! I'd yell at him. One time when I was going to sleep and I put my head on the pillow expecting the nice cold fabric to greet my face, but instead I felt this warm, moist feeling. Teddy! At first it was kind of funny and it was almost cute, you know, because he's a puppy. But eventually I started to lose my patience. He just wasn't getting it. It was past the point where he should have figured it out by now. It had been a couple years. And one time I came home after this long church event and I took off my shoes and literally my first step into this house was into a pool of pee. And I yelled and yelled and yelled, What the hell is wrong with you, Teddy? Tell you another story. A few years ago, my wife Madison came home on the bus and she was crying when she entered the door. Some mean woman on the bus had just randomly said something mean to her. I don't even remember what it was, but she just said random stuff for no reason. You know, you occasionally encounter those people who are just like, oh. You know, they just like to get their feelings out and hurt people, and there's no reason why, and you never see them again, but that happens, right? And I was so mad that someone could be mean to my wife, that someone could be so horrible to someone that adorable. I know I'm biased, but she is freaking adorable. And I laid in bed that night, unable to sleep, just sort of fuming in anxiety at someone hurting my love. Just saying over and over again, wishing I was there so I could have stood up to that person and say, don't you ever talk to my wife that way, bus lady. Who the hell do you think you are? Final story. It was almost exactly 1 year ago. I remember the day because it was the day of the church barbecue, and those are exceptionally long days for me. My wife, Madison, was visiting her family in the USA, so I was alone, which means I ate out pretty much every night. Proof for the existence of God. It was heaven on earth. And after cleaning up from the barbecue, I went and I picked up my favorite butter chicken from this Indian place. And I got home and it was like 9:30 and I was just ready to... Yes! I've been excited about it for hours. And when I got there, a crowd of people were gathered outside of my house. And as I walked up to see, you know, what's going on, I saw that my front door had been kicked in. Someone had smashed the door, gone through all our cupboards, stolen my MacBook and my Xbox. And they'd stole a plastic bag to, you know, carry all this stuff in. And I never got that bag back. What's more, they entered our bedroom. And they went through our personal things. They'd knocked over pictures of our wedding. They rummaged through the personal box we keep all our memories in, dumping it out on the floor to see if there's anything in there, any money, like it was nothing. And my wife was still on vacation, so that night I slept in that bedroom alone. And every time a loud car went by, I kind of just jumped up and I ran to the front of the door just to check it. I laid there all night awake, feeling like someone was there in the room with me, waiting for me to fall asleep. And about a week later, Madison came home and things started to go back to normal, but I had trouble sleeping for another year. I still wake up sometimes and check all the locks. And at first, I was just, terrified that they might come back. But slowly, I began to fantasize about them breaking in again when I was there. I wanted them to come back. I wanted them to break in while I was there and then to walk in the door and me just, like, tower over them when they realize how large I am and how I could just crush them, how I could take a baseball bat and just... breaking into our home, taking our things, but taking so much more than that as well, taking the security and the safety and the peace of our home, the one place in the whole world that's supposed to be safe, and they just defiled it for some cash. Who the hell did they think they were? Then I remembered that I used to steal back in high school. I went to Prince of Wales. Maybe I stole your stuff. Never know. Come over, you can check. It started with stealing chocolate bars and, pop and stuff like that. I was a fat kid and I just stole whatever I could. But it evolved. I eventually got caught breaking into people's lockers, and so I stopped after that because, I got caught, right? And I wonder, the person who broke into my house, did they begin as a kid stealing chocolate bars and pop, except unlike me, they never got caught, so they just kept getting deeper and deeper until they lost themselves in it altogether? Where would I be today if I hadn't gotten caught early on? Who the hell do they think they are? Who the hell do I think I am? And I thought about that woman on the bus. Who the hell did she think she was, making my wife cry? But I've probably made my wife cry more than anyone else in the world. When you're in love, the things you say hurt a million times deeper than if someone else had said it. And Madison and I have both made each other cry a lot. But I've made her cry more than she's made me cry. I'm the insensitive one. I have made my wife cry more than anyone else in the world. Who the hell does that bus lady think she is? Who the hell... do I think I am? And I thought about my dog, Teddy. My puppy dog, Teddy. And the real reason Teddy wasn't potty trained wasn't his fault. It was mine. I've been so busy with work and school that I hadn't carried my weight in training the dog. And so Teddy suffered. I yelled at Teddy for my own failures. I yelled at a 5-pound Yorkie puppy and made him my scapegoat. What the hell is wrong with you, Teddy? What the hell is wrong with me? I made them all my scapegoat. Teddy, the bus lady, the guy who broke in. I'd imagined myself in this world in which they were wrong and I was right, where they were darkness and I was light. How quickly I created a version of the world where others are the villain and I'm the hero, or at least the innocent bystander. How easily I did the same thing the modern age did when we called the past the Dark Ages. How easily I saw the darkness in others, but not in myself. As Romans 3 says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. There is no one who just does good, not even one. And this seems harsh, doesn't it? In 2017, we as individuals don't really see ourselves as screwed up sinners. We read Romans 13 and it seems too much. No one's righteous, really? Not even one person? Come on, not even Mother Teresa? Not one? I mean, I might not be the best person in the world, but I'm a fairly decent person. And that's what most of us think about ourselves, right? Every few Sundays at church, I go on a rant about Jesus dying for our sins, and the response that I most often get in the discussion time afterwards in Sunday school is, "What sin?" And that's the ethos of the modern age, this growing sense that we don't need God because we're not that bad on our own. We believe in humanity. We've been getting better. We believe we've progressed as a species since the Dark Ages. We're not that bad anymore. We believe that humans are getting more tolerant, more open-minded, more humanistic, compassionate. We're less repressed, less judgmental, less barbaric than in the past. The modern age was heralded as the age of progress, moral, social, scientific progress, and we have a higher view of humanity and of ourselves than any other culture in human history. Our generation doesn't need Christ to die for our sins because we don't believe we're sinners. We've gotten so much better since the Dark Ages. We don't believe we need a Savior because we don't believe we need saving. We've progressed beyond that, thank you very much. We don't want God's forgiveness because we're perhaps the first culture in human history that does not believe it has anything to be forgiven for. And Romans 3 says to you today, there is no one who is truly righteous, not even one. It's easy to point the finger at other groups, other people, other time periods and dark ages, but there's darkness within us all. It's like lava molting within. Some people can contain it so they don't erupt as often, but it's still buried deep down. That darkness is in all of us, not just in criminals and people with weird mustaches. That darkness is in our modern age, not just 500 to 1500. And if you can't see that darkness in yourself, frankly, I wonder if you're not looking hard enough. Or perhaps you just don't want to see it. Or perhaps you see it, but refuse to believe it. Or perhaps you even do believe it, but you just don't want to think about it. Or perhaps you do see it, you do believe it, and you do think about it. But you just don't know what to do about it. And as a Christian, I think I know what you might just do about it. Take that darkness to the cross. Jesus died for your darkness, for your sins. You can be forgiven. That's the message we preach up here over and over again every single Sunday. But it's not going to make sense to you. You're never going to connect with the cross or appreciate how incredible or meaningful it is if you don't think you have any darkness in you in the first place. You're never going to understand Jesus dying for your sins if you don't think you have any. Let me finish with a story that Jesus told in Luke 18. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. You know, Pharisees, they're the moral, upright, respectable leaders back then. Everyone thought highly of them. But tax collectors were considered greedy and selfish and evil back then. They took from the poor to give to the rich. And they were infamous for overcharging people and hoarding money for themselves. Their hearts were full of darkness. So Jesus is telling this story. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. I give a tenth of all I get to the church and to the poor." But the tax collector, he stood off at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves, who raise themselves up as better than, they will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted." See, the modern age is like the Pharisee, saying, "Thank God I'm not like other people. Thank God we're not in the dark ages anymore." And we as individuals often act like the Pharisee, saying, "Thank God I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, white people." Come on, I mean, we're pretty bad. How comforting it is to see the darkness in others, but not in ourselves. And Jesus says to you, to me, to the Pharisee, and to our modern age, "I tell you that this man, rather than you, rather than the other, went home justified before God." Because the true prayer was not that of the Pharisee exalting himself, but of the tax collector crying out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Which one will you be? The Pharisee who thinks he's not a sinner, or the tax collector who admits it and cries out to God? Both the Pharisee and the tax collector have darkness in their hearts. All of us have darkness in our hearts. The question is, will you pretend it's not there, or will you bring it out into the light?